world and in the way, sisters. Laugh and learn with me, Janet.
And me, Nancy.
The Bitchin' Sisters. We're growing old in a new world with skyrocketing costs, crazy fashions, changing norms, and with limited time left.
We'll entertain you and inform you. Let's look back at how it was and ahead to what's coming. As the story goes, Janet, the day before my husband Gene died, he walked into the bank and he got the loan for the Harley Heritage 2001 motorcycle I wanted. The next day, he died. He never saw the bike, and he never saw me ride the bike. But that bike saved me from deep depression because I had to concentrate on something besides my empty, torn life. I had to learn how to drive it, all while looking out for everyone on the highway coming at me. It was a godsend.
I would never have thought that.
Yeah. Gene had told me a couple things during the waiting period for this bike. He said to start with a big bike so I wouldn't be afraid of it. So my bike weighs 750 pounds.
I can't even imagine.
He also told me that when I got it, I should practice riding around my circle driveway 25 times in one direction, then 25 times in the other, because this would help me practice shifting gears. Well, I only needed to go around 10 times in each direction.
Aren't you big?
Plus, I took a local motorcycle class that he had suggested, and a friend of Gene's loaned me his little cycle to practice on. That first summer, I put on 13,000 miles with my new bike.
That's way more than we drive our car in a year.
I drove out west and to Banff in Canada with a relative's father. And then he went on to California, and I rode solo home via Beartooth Pass in Montana, where I spread some of Gene's ashes because it was our very favorite ride. This was the beginning of my love affair with my Harley.
Okay.
I was cautioned not to ride solo, but I felt strongly that I was not going to let bad people in the world keep me from doing what I loved. I could always turn my bike around and skedaddle home. So I rode out to Maine by myself, about 500 miles a day, across Canada.
And Mother was still alive then?
Yeah.
She probably
No, she wasn't.
Wasn't. Well then.
Okay. Yeah, okay, lucky then. For me. So I rode out to Maine about 500 miles a day across Canada via Sault Ste. Marie in upstate New York. At night in the motel, get this, I'd go over my maps and I'd decide on my routes. And then I'd write them all down on a really small piece of paper that I would stick in the leather pocket that the Heritage has right near the gas tank, right in front of me. Mm-hmm. And I would just keep pulling it out further and further as I completed each section of the route for the day. On my way back was when I met up with someone I actually knew, Barb, outside of Chicago at a gas station. She was with a group of bikers coming back from a trip to Pennsylvania. And she invited me to tag along, which I agreed to, even though I had just driven 400 miles.
You're crazy.
Well, when you're with other people, it makes a difference. Okay. Because you want to keep up. You want to make sure that you're doing everything that they're doing. We rode all the way back home that day. And boy, was I exhausted. I never would have done it had I not had a friend to tag along with. Sure, I did find myself in some tough spots. Once in Vermont, the road work was so bad during a rain that it practically washed out the road. And I thought, for sure, I'm going to drop my bike. And the gal driving behind me was driving rather close. So when the flagger made a stop, I parked the bike in the middle of the road where I felt it might not go over. And I walked back to the car following me. And I asked her to back up a bit because I was capable of dropping it in these conditions. Yeah. I knew that. I got back on my bike and voila, I made it without dropping it. And I remember thinking, what do I need a man for? I can do all this. Another time in the late summer, I ran into snow and hail. And it was S-turned downhill coming into Buffalo, Wyoming.
Why would anyone do it?
Well, it was like 75 degrees at the bottom. But when you got up in the mountains, it was completely different. Okay. It was raining and hailing and snowing. So I thought, for sure, once again, I was going to go down. But my bike and my skills saved me from that disaster. I'll never forget it. I also try to avoid gravel roads and bridges with grooved pavement, but I've driven on them all and I've survived so far. About 4 months after Jean passed, I was on a poker run, which is where you get a list of places to stop, usually gas stations or bars, and you have to get your paper stamped by the proprietor that signifies you've been there. And when you're finished with the list, then you go back to where you began and you enter it into a drawing for prizes. Well, at one stop at a gas station, a guy overheard me telling someone where I was from. You probably don't know this. And he strolled over and looking at me directly in the eye, he said, "I've lived here my whole life and I've never seen you." It was kind of arrogant.
I love the way you kind of moved back and forth when you said that in a very arrogant way.
Well, he was being arrogant, I thought.
Apparently you like these arrogant types.
I said I'd never seen him either. Well, when we got back to the beginning of the poker run, where we played our poker hand and entered our stamp list for prizes, I saw him again. This time he asked me why I was cleaning my windshield when I was just going to get it dirty again on the way home.
Such a practical guy.
It was so typical of him. I rolled my eyes. And that Sunday, the very next day, I was sitting in church, and guess who turned around in his pew and waved hello animatedly to me? It was him. I rolled my eyes again. I had never seen this guy in church ever. And now, here he was, two pews in front of me. When I walked outside after church, there he was on his bike, right next to my bike. Well, this went on for 3 Sundays. So finally, on the 3rd Sunday, I said my famous words.
Yes.
"Well, why don't you come over and check my oil?"
Yes, we've tittered about that for years since then.
Long story short, this guy and I have now been together for 23 years, and we've each ridden over 117,000 miles on our bikes. Yeah, we've gone out as far west as Banff in Canada and as far east as Maine together, with most of our travels out west to Wyoming, Montana, and Idaho. So back to my love affair. What is it that I love about being on a motorcycle?
I can't imagine. I would never do it, not for a moment.
Well, first of all, I'm not in the back seat with someone else driving it. I'm the only one on the bike, and I'm in complete control. Honestly, Janet, after being the driver, I don't think I could ever be behind someone in the passenger seat again. Second, I feel free. I know that sounds like a cliche, but it's true. We both wear helmets, but even with one on, the wind and the sun on my face makes me feel one with nature. The smells you breathe in, they heighten your senses. And the scenery, all 360 degrees of it, it's exhilarating. Contrast that to a car with the windows up and you can see the contrast. I really enjoy all the S-turns on the back roads where you cling to the inside as you round the corners.
You didn't used to like those S-turns.
Well, when you're in control of the bike. I remember one time in Sturgis, I was in the lead of about 20 bikes behind me, and I was going pretty good around those S-turns. And when I finally got off my bike, they were surprised it was a girl leading them. Yeah. Well, it's fun, those S-turns, and it tests my ability to control my bike. And I like listening to all my favorite music while I ride. I plan to continue to ride as long as I can. I'm 74, so not too much longer. It's free. You begin the journey as soon as you start it up, and you're out in nature. What's not to love about a motorcycle?
Well, I can think of plenty of things, but anyway.
You haven't been in my shoes.
Right.
Janet and I come to you twice a month with new episodes. Some are funny, some are serious. Some are just our crazy opinions. I hope you enjoyed our show.
Me too. It's been a pleasure. Music by Hall and Sidnor.
Don't bother me, I'm tired of your insanity. There ain't no great conspiracy. Well, you think if you shout it out loud and long, everybody's gonna wanna sing your song. You can fool some people sometimes, but you don't fool me. Sitting at your desktop late.
Testing. Testing, 1, 2, 3. Testing, 1, 2, 3.